Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, and happy Valentine's Day to you all out there. And that's why we're doing the show today also. And it's all about love. So one of the things that I am looking at is to help those who are listening. When you tune in and learn, this is going to help unblock, attract, and help you as far as love goes. So I'm going to introduce my guest. He is Michael Bradford. I had him on last week's show, and then we thought, well, we're going to have him on this week's show also because of love and Valentine's Day. Now, not everyone is in a relationship. Is that good or is that bad or does it matter? There's a reason that you're listening today, and hopefully we can get your answers to your questions and also help you to unblock what it is that so you could seek what you're looking for. Now, Michael Bradford is an international intuitive energy healer, a corporate shaman, business coach, author, and spiritual teacher. He has extensive expertise in the areas of health, healing, personal excellence, spiritual growth, entrepreneurship and success. Also, he has a cutting edge, unique, multidimensional approach that has helped many thousands of clients in over 50 countries to break free of their limitations, balance karma, and become more successful. This helps his clients to gain greater access to their intuition, speed up their healing process, accelerate their spiritual growth, gain clarity, improve relationships, attract greater success, and increase finances. So when I read about the relationships, everybody needs a little help on relationships. What is it that we're doing? You know, do you deserve love? And if so, how are you going to get it? The right love. How are you going to attract this love? So that's why I'm having Michael on the show today, and I just want to remind the listeners who are hearing this live, if you'd like to ask Michael a question, you can by calling 657-383-1159, and just press the icon that it has your hand holding up so I know you have a question. So right now I'm going to bring Michael on because we have a lot to discuss and I don't want to miss any of it. So Michael, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much, Cassandra. It's always a pleasure talking to you and being on the show.
Wonderful. Now I gave you, the info on you and what it is that you do. But one thing I want to ask is how do you look at the relationship part in regards to your healing techniques? What is it that qualifies you, if I could say that, to help people in relationships?
Great question. What qualifies me is, number one, I've been on the planet quite a long time, and I've been in relationships. I've been very successful at some relationships, and I've had challenges with others. And I've actually been working on myself for the last 40 years. So what happens is, as I'm looking at clients' energy and listening to them asking what it is that they want to achieve, I can see the patterns, both the conscious and unconscious patterns that are going on. I was actually going to do this part at the end of the show, but I can do it now. So what happens is, There's a number of things. Whenever we're talking about love, we're talking about two things. We're talking about self-love, which is the most important, the way we look at ourselves and feel about ourselves, whether we feel good or not, and whether we have love, gentleness, compassion for ourselves. And only then can we really find that in the external world where we're interacting with other people. So what happens is we learn about love from our parents, and we learn actually from the time of conception, the time in the womb, birth, age 0 to 7. And for many of us, we weren't born into a family where there was unconditional love and safety. Most families were codependent or dysfunctional to some degree. So if we were born and raised into a family where there was a lot of love, acceptance, where we were nurtured, where we were supported to be who we really are rather than changed into something that our parents or someone else wanted us to be, other people, you know, were the brunt of the parents' anger or abuse or yelling. You know, very few of our own parents knew about love, healthy love, and very few of them were actually functional. So right now in today's culture and in society, we have a lot more freedom. We have a lot more ability to interact with people, to date, to explore, to do things. So when we come from a healthy foundation, then it's easier to attract love. If we're coming from an unhealthy foundation, then the only thing we know as love or to be love is actually dysfunctionality or abuse. So if there was, and this ties in with the law of attraction, manifestation. So if a person goes and they have goes to a party, let's say, and they have not worked on themselves, they had not healed themselves, but they came from an alcoholic family or dysfunctional family, they will unconsciously attract the one dysfunctional person in the room that's similar to their family patterns. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important for people to clear out these patterns. That's one of the things I specialize in, is scanning the person's energy, the client's energy, where the energy is blocked, what's blocking it, what is the memory from the past, what is the experience from the past. And then when that shifts, when that heals, and that can often be done in one session, then what happens is the person attracts a healthier, loving relationship and more loving to themselves. A lot of this is covered in my new book, Mastering the Human Experience, Your Soul's Journey on Earth, which is available on Amazon. But I'm also willing, if people email me, I'll send you a PDF on the book. But do you have any other questions?
Yeah. Again, I think we went over this last week. Something about how do you know the difference between healthy love and unhealthy love? Someone has to look at it first, and if they're in these unhealthy relationships or they're attracting people, obviously they're attracting someone. If it's a woman, they're attracting, a partner, a male, especially because that person might not be the best for them, but they're attracting them because they learned this. They're trying to get something from the male figure, the father, that they didn't get, and they're trying to get this in this other person, but they don't realize this. I feel that when we're looking at the difference between that, I tell my clients all the time, it's just the same person with a different face. So unless they realize that that's what they're doing, are there signs? Obviously, you keep getting the same type of relationship, and is how it makes you feel. I mean, how can somebody notice if they're listening? It's like, well, you know what, maybe I'm in an unhealthy relationship and I have gotten something that is not, I'm not going anywhere. I'm stuck and I don't realize why I'm doing this. Most of the time people are doing this because they're trying to resolve you know, that past issue that you say you go into and help them find. So do you have any signs or indications of healthy and unhealthy love?
One of the things to do is to pay attention to how you feel. Do you feel safe? Do you feel nurtured? Do you feel respected? Do you feel listened to? Are you just being dragged along by the other person? Or are they interacting with you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually in a way that you feel honored and respected and listened to and cared for? Society is changing so much, and we are learning more about breaking the old stereotype of what a relationship is. So a lot of women, being on dating sites, a lot of women may be afraid to call someone or contact someone or make the first effort to reach out. But in today's society, that's normal. But a lot of people still have that programming from the past. One of the things I wanted to share is a story, and it's the story of the frog. And if you put a frog in a boiling pot of water, it's going to jump out. It's going to say, oh, this is different. This is hot. Ouch. And it's going to jump out. But if you take a frog and put it into a pan of water at room temperature and turn on the heat, that frog will never jump out because it cannot differentiate. It cannot tell that there's a difference in the temperature of the water. So for many people that were raised in a dysfunctional family with a father or mother that was aggressive or angry or depressed or one of millions of other things, they didn't know how to take care of themselves. They said yes to everything. They gave away their power. That's what the person is used to. It doesn't mean the person is bad. It's just they learned unhealthy habits. So by looking at a person's energy, reading their energy, and this can be done on the telephone or Skype, other intuitives can actually see what is blocking it, what is the memory. And here's the other challenge. Some people have to work through the layers of the onion. So they're using time after time, looking at incident after incident after incident. There are ways that I've developed where I go directly to the core issue the first time it happened. And when the energy has shifted there, the unconscious shock, trauma, disappointment, hurt, when that's released, then the person adjusts to a new level. So everything is frequency and vibration. Everything is energy. So the more our energy is clear, the more we're going to attract something or a person that we really want to be in relationship, but we're never going to attract anything that is beyond what our own self-image and self-esteem is. So you hear it a lot when people win the lottery, they get sick, they die, or they have a nervous breakdown. So we have to learn ourselves be worthy of love, to love, honor, respect, and support ourselves, which is something we're all working on. Do you want to ask another question?
Do you feel that when we're attracting people, you know, in this lifetime, this can also be a bleed over from our past lifetimes also, correct?
Yeah, a lot of times with my situation, I'm attracting a lot of soulmates from other lifetimes. So I'm meeting people and I know them. There's some familiarity and we've come together to complete something. So sometimes love is meant for a day, a week, a year, 5 years. And then we're meant to go our separate ways. Sam Keen was one of the heads of the men's movement, said you have to know three questions in order to get on in life and attract the correct partner. Number one question is, who am I? You have to know who you are. You have to have worked on yourself or helped yourself to develop so you know who you are, what your values are, what you're willing to accept what you're not willing to accept. So knowing yourself is one of the key factors. Number two is, where am I going? You know, some people love to travel. Other people are stay-at-homes. They don't want to travel. Some people are outgoing. Other people are introverts. I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong, but you have to know who you are as a person. And only at when you reach the third stage, after you know the first two, then you can ask, who is going with me? But if you're going in one direction in life and you attract people that are going in another direction in life, it's very challenging to stay together. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, but the challenge is when people's values are different, when they're what their goals are in life, what dreams are. Some people want a cabin in the woods. Other people want to be in the middle of a city and have a lot of social activities. Everyone is different. And that uniqueness is a positive thing. However, we have to find a way for that uniqueness to be honored within everybody. Do you want to ask another question?
That makes perfect sense. So I know that a lot of people are – okay, let's just go to the stages of relationships. And you had written something down, and I just felt it was very important that, you know, just like we go through stages of grief, you have these stages of relationships. And these are the things that we're looking at. We can look at the first stage that you put in here is infatuation. How can somebody look at that? Of course, we get butterflies in the stomach and we're all happy and giggly and everything. But when we get to that first initial stage, is that when we can pull back? I mean, if we're attracting healthy love, do we know that infatuation is indeed going to go somewhere, or are we just trying to, fool ourselves and think that this is it? But if you could just name the stages of the relationships, and then we can go from there.
Okay, so there's four stages to a relationship. Infatuation, you meet this other person, you go, wow, aren't they amazing? Number two, imperfection awareness. We also call that shit awareness, which says, oh my God, they're not perfect. Okay, they're not the person I thought they were. They're human. They've got issues. And number three is negotiation, renegotiation, where you work things through with the person. You go, hey, I'm really uncomfortable with this. Can we change this? Or working out differences. And then the fourth stage is commitment. However, in most cases, especially because we're so independent these days and we have so much freedom, what we do is infatuation. Wow, this other person's amazing. Imperfection awareness, shit awareness. Oh, my God, no. And we go, bye, on to the next one. So we never get to the stage of negotiation and renegotiation. And to be at the stage of saying, this is how I feel, this is what I want, this is what I need, can you give it to me? And if not, then we need to terminate the relationship, or I need to evaluate if I'm willing to forego that in my life. So the negotiation and renegotiation stage requires a high level of awareness and maturity. It requires a person to know themselves. And most people, I'm debating on how to say this. A lot of people just shut down and say, well, I'm never going to get what I want anyway, or this is as good as it gets. And
there's the law of attraction.
Right.
I was saying there's a law of attraction, so they'll get that.
Right. So what happens is these are the people that wind up getting illnesses, diseases, and getting sick. And, you know, a lot of people later on in life will die early because they're not really happy. And all this negativity and frustration and anger is festering inside of them, throwing the body out of balance. Now, again,
okay.
Yeah, go on. You want to ask a question?
I was going to say, what about the people who are on the other extreme end and say, I'm never going to be in a relationship again. It's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. I just can't deal with this. And they're the ones that just totally shut down. It's like they feel that they don't deserve love. And when they don't deserve love, then where does that leave them?
Okay, here's part of the challenge. When we shut down, we're only hurting one person, that's ourselves. I understand that people get hurt. I understand they get disappointed. I understand that relationships break up. I understand that there's a tremendous amount of hurt and pain in the world. However, if we shut down and retreat and withdraw rather than work through it, all we're doing is sabotaging ourselves and limiting ourselves. And sometime in this lifetime or another, we have to heal that. There's an old saying, if you want to know how spiritually aware you are and where you are in your spiritual growth, get in a relationship. You're going to find out very, very quickly how evolved you are.
Whenever
we're in a relationship, you better believe all your unresolved anger, hurt, pain is going to bubble to the surface. And 90% of the time, even if the other person treats you really, really well, it's going to trigger you because we have an unconscious reservoir of hurt, pain, disappointment from our childhood and past lives. So again, clearing this out is not really a challenge. I mean, it is a challenge, but with my ability to see the past lives, my ability to see the soul of the person, for me to read the energy pattern, this can be cleared out fairly easily. And it's up to the person, if they're committed, this can be achieved fairly quickly. The one thing that people forget, love is like weeding a garden. If you don't weed the garden, you're going to have lots of weeds and you're going to have lots of problems in your garden. It's not going to be a very pretty garden. Mm-hmm. And your personality, your emotions, your feelings, love in your life is just like the garden. You have to weed it. You have to prune it. You have to pay attention. You have to fertilize it. You have to nurture it. And I believe that love is one of the most precious things planet. And I will say it again, the more we learn to love, honor, respect, and support ourselves, the more we're going to be able to attract healthy love to us. Back to you.
When you say the more we love and honor and respect ourselves, what is it that... Because honestly, I know some people that have no clue what you're talking about. What love, honor, respect myself, what does that mean? What does that mean? How can someone do this in order to have that self-worth, you know, that they are worthy and that they are lovable and, you know, they're enough? How can someone do that to... say, you know what, I'm going to do this for me first, and then I'm going to go out and attract that person that has done the same thing. So you have any examples? How can someone really, really
sure.
love themselves?
First of all, is when we get to that stage of loving, honoring, and respecting ourselves, we won't have to search because we'll be acting like a giant magnet pulling that mm-hmm. other person to us. Pretty much effortless. The way this is part of the journey of life where we're learning about respecting ourselves. And you know, if people have a child or grandchild or someone, even a pet, a lot of people will treat their dog, cat, their pets better than they'll treat themselves. So what happens is We learn to take care of others. We learn to do for others. The challenge is learning to do for ourselves. And a lot of the religious background and training has been that we shouldn't be selfish. We shouldn't think about ourselves. We should just sacrifice ourselves and take care of everybody else. Except, you know, on the airlines, when there's a problem with the air, they tell you, put your mask on first, get your oxygen first, then you can take care of other people. And there is, we have to take care of ourselves. It's the major lesson in life. And I'm not saying become an egomaniac. I'm not saying me, 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 and no one else. I'm not saying selfishness. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is we have to make sure that we have our needs met. That we ask for what we want. We make sure we're treated with respect. This is going on. The whole planet is waking up saying, wait a minute, how are men and women treating each other? How are men treating other men? How are women treating other women? What's going on in relationships? And this is a big revolution going on here with us waking up to the fact that we have to learn not only to respect others, but to respect ourselves. And a lot of people, when they start respecting themselves, they wake up and say, wow, you know, this happened. I'm not happy about that. And, you know, even though it happened a week ago, a month, a year, a decade ago, all of a sudden that frustration starts bubbling to the surface, that anger. And that's righteous anger. It's healthy anger. The challenge is to work it out and release it, and so that it doesn't stay stuck in our bodies. Go ahead, back to you.
That's the biggest problem, and one of them is when, you know, because I'm a reader, a psychic reader, I do have these people that come to me that say, why can't I get you know, this person to treat me right? Well, what you're saying is you kind of have to treat yourself right first. And I agree with you wholly. When you are ready and you have worked on your issues, and I mean, you don't have to be totally clear. We all have issues and we'll have them till the day we die. But when we have worked on ourselves and honoring ourselves, and again, finding out who you are, that's the biggest challenge, I think. Someone asked me that one time, and I kind of looked at him, and I heard crickets. I'm like, what do you mean, who am I? We're very valuable spiritual beings, and we need to treat ourselves like that. And then we, like you said, we'll call in and attract those people that are supposed to be there for us. So all of the things that we're doing, we kind of want to rush into it. And when you find out who you are first, then the rest kind of happens. Now, I want you to please, that we have about 60 seconds left, if you would give the people your information, contact information, if they want to get a hold of you, and work on attracting love.
Okay, thank you. My email is michael@michaelbradford.com, and my phone number is 760-844-2778. I totally agree with you in blaming the other person or punishing them is not going to work. It doesn't get us anything. We have to learn to ask, what part am I playing in it? How am I attracting it? How am I feeding this? How am I playing into this? And to disengage and then work more on ourselves. I don't like the word work, but change ourselves, and then we change what we're attracting. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of information that I know will help the people who are listening right now, because this is Valentine's Day. So, you know, it could be very painful reminder that we don't have anyone in our life, or it can also be the beginning of finding how to attract that love into our lives in a healthy, healthy manner. So thank you all for listening. Tune in again. Stay tuned and like my show so you can get information from it for the upcoming shows. I thank you for tuning in and learning. Okay, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Let me end my episode. I think this is going to cut it off, so... All right.